being here. And it is a delight to have you here with us. We pray you'll consider St. Timothy as your church home.
That's right.
Amen. We would love to be an ongoing part of your life. Amen. And so we hope you have enjoyed your stay thus far.
Yes.
Amen. Not to delay the time any further, we do have a word from the Lord.
All right.
And we've been talking about, as an overall subject matter throughout this year, how to learn to love like Jesus. Those who have been here, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that for the benefit of them who may have not been with us at full time.
Mm-hmm.
And we say that that is really the essence of Christian discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
Is to learn to love like Jesus. And it's not easy. It may look like it should be easy, but it's a very difficult thing to do. When he came out of heaven, think about what God did. Came all the way out of heaven, face to face with the Father. The Son was face to face, the Bible says, in eternity past. But he knew that mankind was in a terrible fix, that there was nobody who could satisfy his requirements. And so he decided, before he ever made anything, this is the part that excites me, the more you study the word, you realize that Jesus knew before anything was made what would happen.
Yeah.
Already, because he can see the end and the beginning all at the same time.
Yeah.
He's an all-knowing, all-wise God.
Yeah.
In spite of all that, he has set his love on me and you. That's what it tells us in Ephesians chapter number 1 in the 4th verse, that he chose us in him from the foundation of the world. That means before he made anything, he already knew that he was set his love on you. That's good news for you. Now, the sad part for me, there was a time in my life I didn't realize that he loved me. See? And I was walking around and the devil was trying to kill me and I was trying to kill myself. You see, with all manner of crazy behavior, not knowing that before the foundation of the world, that God had chosen you in him. If you believe, it's not because you suddenly got smart and figured out, oh, I need Jesus. It didn't work that way. The way it worked, he knew you already.
Yes.
Like he told Jeremiah, he gave him an assignment first.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah said, well, wait a minute, Lord, you don't know who you're talking to.
Uh-huh.
I'm just a child. I don't even know how to come in and go out.
Uh-huh.
And you telling me to go tell the king and all the people this and that and the other?
Mm-hmm.
He said, Jeremiah, don't say that I'm but a child, because before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
That's right.
And I ordained you a prophet to the nations. See that? So stuff God knows about you, you might not even have discovered for yourself.
That's right.
Yet.
That's right.
You see, but he's going to unfold it to you. That's the good news.
Amen.
That's where the church comes in, is that we like to teach you about that. Now think about what God did. Jesus the Son came off the throne,
mm-hmm,
in order to be born into the world, be subjected to everything me and you have been subjected to.
Mm-hmm.
That means being in a womb for 9 months.
Yeah.
It means being conceived by the Holy Spirit. That was the only thing that was different. He didn't have an earthly father.
That's right.
His heavenly father, the Holy Spirit, implanted him in the womb of a virgin.
That's right.
And he came forth out of the womb, not with any of Adam's sin. God planned that even before. We saw that. We looked at that in previous lessons. And just before I go too far, let me say this too. I want to add that St. Timothy does have an internet ministry. And I wanted to say this. I was supposed to promote this week just a little. I recommend that when you receive a link for our message, if you happen to be on that list, or if you happen to go online to teachingbible.org, share it with a friend, a neighbor, an enemy. Don't make any difference who you share it with. But share it. We have people who listen to us all over the world. Did you know that? We have some friends out in Hawaii. We have some friends in Colorado. We have some friends in all parts of the world. In Florida, different places around the United States, other cities that listen in to our messages.
Yes.
And so we're scattering the word out of here every which way.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be a part of that. Don't think that it's a light thing. When you have opportunity, just share it. Do like you do on Facebook when you get all those different things come in and you want to share with everybody in my catalog. Do that with the message. Send the word out. And let the people hear the word.
Yes.
Some of them might not talk to you no more. Now let me just make it plain. You might lose some friends. They might say, oh, well, I don't know if I want to keep them in my friend. I might unlike you or whatever they do. But you send them the word. Send them the truth.
Amen.
Let them know that Jesus Christ loves them.
Yes.
And that he has died and got out the grave for their sin. He's the only one who has done
that. The only one.
Nobody else has ever done that.
See,
so that's why we don't believe anybody else.
Amen.
Buddha can't help me because he didn't get up out the grave. None of them can help me. They all are still in the grave waiting on judgment. Jesus said there's coming a day when all of them are going to bow to me. And every tongue is going to confess that I am Lord. To the glory of God the Father. That day is coming. And so we preach proudly the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news that no matter who you are, no matter what condition your life is in, no matter what you have ever done, he is willing and able to save you. He wants you to be saved. No matter what you're going through. No matter what you've been through. Not even that stuff you were planning, it might have been evil. He said, I can fix that too. I can fix it. And nobody else can do it. He has all authority in heaven and earth. So share it with somebody else. Share it with a friend. I say a neighbor or even an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because Jesus said that you ought to love your enemies. And pray for them who despitefully misuse you. See, so if we were to occupy ourselves doing what he told us, we would find ourselves being more like Jesus.
That's so true.
And that's why I say we have to learn to love like him. He loves all kinds of folks, no matter what kind of deal they're going through. No, he's not against anyone. He does not discriminate against anyone.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you and he has the solution to whatever
yes,
it is you're dealing with. And he can give you assurance.
My Lord.
When you trust him, he's not going to leave it up to you anymore. He's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will come in and lead and guide you to all truth.
Yes, he will.
And so we were talking about aspects of the love of Jesus Christ. Think about it. God got off that high throne, came into the world, was subject to every human condition, and then at the age of 30 began an earthly ministry, began to teach disciples.
Yes.
So we said, well, what was he teaching all those disciples? And he was teaching them to love people the way I do.
Yeah.
See, just to put it in a nutshell, you know, and he went to some folk. The disciples say, you're not going to go to Samaria, are you? Oh, the Samaritans have no dealings with the Jews.
Yes.
You know, we can't be going there. Jesus said, I must needs go to Samaria.
Yes. Yeah.
So he broke some barriers down.
Oh,
not going to go talk to them women, are you? You know? Yes, I am. Women supported his ministry more than anyone else. Did you know that?
Yep.
It's amazing. The ministry of the Messiah was supported by a whole lot of women.
Amen.
And men too. But I'm saying we find that the women seem to gravitate even more to his support.
Amen.
And he went and broke some barriers. Oh, you're not going to go to a tax collector's house, are you?
Mm.
Oh, a filthy tax collector. They had them on the same level with a child molester.
Yes, they did.
See what I'm saying? But he went to the tax.
Yes, he did.
He didn't care what kind of thing you were involved in.
That's right.
Lepers, people who had disease.
That's right.
Oh, you can't touch him. He's unclean.
Yeah.
Jesus said, be ye clean. And
that's
he
right.
touched him. Went to Peter's mother. The Bible says he touched her hand and she was healed.
That's right.
The fever left her, rebuked
yes.
the fever, and it went out of her.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So he's able to handle whatever you are dealing with.
Yeah.
No matter what you're dealing with. If it's a physical issue, an emotional issue, a mental issue,
yeah.
no matter what you're going through, he is able.
Yeah. Oh, he's able.
The good news is he is willing. We can understand
wow.
able. Yeah, he's able. He's God. He can do anything.
Yeah.
But he is willing to deal with you
yeah.
right where you are.
Yeah.
See, he will accept you right where you are.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why his love is spectacular.
Oh, yes.
And you and I have to learn how to adjust our humanity to a divine level where we can love people like he did.
Amen.
We have a tendency to reject people who don't seem quite like us or or certain people in a certain situation. You know, we have a tendency to do that.
Yeah.
Being a disciple of Christ teaches you how to stop that.
Yeah. Amen.
How to accept people where they are and love them anyway
yes.
in spite of what they're going through.
That's right.
But you know what? If you check yourself, you'll find out you got some stuff. Somebody might be trying to put you on a list. You see what I'm saying? But the fact is, all of us are dealing with something. Nobody is perfect. But God loves you and he has accepted you if you have accepted his son. So now we've been talking about the love of God. So today we're going to talk about, now you'll notice the name of this message, which I'm going to let the cat out of the bag a little early, is shrewdly practicing the love of God. Shrewdly is an adverb that says how. you're doing things. Not so much what you do, how do you do it?
Yes.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
You need to use some judgment, some tact. You got to have some sense of love and compassion and mercy.
Yes.
So it has to do with how you do it. The word shrewd has to do with being smart and cunning. You know, using things that are wise and well thought out. And sometimes I don't do that so well because we have a tendency to fly off at the mouth and say whatever first comes to our mind instead of subjecting our thoughts to the obedience of Christ.
Yes.
So we have to learn to be shrewd. Jesus told his disciples, be as wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. That's shrewdly.
Yes, that is.
You're going to be shrewd. You're not just going to pop off and say the first thing that comes to your mind.
Model.
That's why James said, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger.
Yes.
For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. See, so put that tongue on hold. And y'all know this. I believe it was Reverend Barney, one of my pastors. I heard Mother Lemon mentioned this morning. I think it was him who first told me that the reason that God only he took your tongue, he gave you two of everything except a few things. And the few things he didn't give you two of, they'll get you into most trouble. Now you think that over. And when he gave you that tongue, he put it in a cage.
Yes, he did.
Keep that thing locked down. You gotta lock that sucker down. Keep it in the cage. Because it's easy to say something wrong and then stumble in what you say. That's what James said. You see what I'm saying? So we need to learn how to shrewdly practice the love of God. And I'm going to show you just a few things the Lord put in my spirit about this message today from the Old Testament. This takes us back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 10. And you can read these with me just to put a few previous thoughts in your mind before we talk about the subject. And actually, we're going to go to chapter 11. I was reading chapter 10 also. Read that when you get time. Just read it. And 12 even becomes more interesting when you understand this thing that happened in Genesis 11. Because it's right in between the period after the flood and before God called Abraham to separate a people for his own possession. That's what makes this text so interesting. It's because it's in between periods, a big paradigm shift, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But in Genesis 11, notice this as we read from the KJV, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded.
And the Lord said,
behold, this people is one, and they have all one language. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad, and from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Amen. That's the old covenant of the Lord to the people of the Lord. May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word. And now let's read in the New Testament just a few verses from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verses 19 to 24. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant unto all, that I may gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of to Christ, that I may gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. And I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this, for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Amen. That's the new covenant of the Lord to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the sanctuary. And as I mentioned, we're going to use for a subject, shrewdly practicing the love of God. Amen. Back in Genesis, what we're seeing there, and the reason my mind went here, is that when everybody all spoke the same language, it's very interesting that what happens when everybody's all on one accord, the key verse here in this section is that nothing would be impossible for them to do. They can't be restrained from doing anything because they're all of one accord. That's verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, this people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do. And he says, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Wow, do you realize the power of one accord? If everybody's thinking the same, speaking the same, understanding everything, just great power. You know, that's why I said on the day of Pentecost, there's 120 were in the upper room and they were all on one accord with the apostles. You see, what God had done there, he had multiplied from the 12 who he called, and they put Matthias in there, of course, because Judas had committed suicide. And they put 12 to keep the number of 12, but there were 120. That's times 10, right? In the upper room on the day when the Holy Spirit came to birth the church and empower the church. Mm-hmm. And so multiplication in one accord is a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. We as a church can accomplish a great deal if we have our minds on one accord. Here, these people had their minds on the flesh and on doing something they wanted to do, with God not even in the picture.
Amen.
They acted as though he didn't exist.
Amen.
The tragic thing about this is that it hadn't been that long, God had wiped out the whole of humanity except 8 people. Yep. Wow, in the book of Genesis, he had wiped out the whole world earlier in this same book, and it was only 8 souls that survived through the flood.
Mm-hmm.
So this is only, and that would take you over through Noah and his 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You can read about them in chapter 10.
Mm-hmm.
And after the flood waters have subsided, and now what did man decide to do? They all speak in the same language.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, let's build us a tower and build us a city and make the top reach into heaven. We want to just worship the stars and the host of heaven. So that's what happened, and the corruption of mankind permeated through the whole human family.
Yep. Yeah.
Sure did. And it was like, boy, this is tragic. You all just haven't been that long ago. People are still living who had experienced and been told by their grandparents about the flood and the destruction God sent, because Genesis 6 said that all the thoughts and the imagination of man's heart had only been evil continually. Remember that? So he said, there's nothing else I can do to save them. I'm going to wipe the whole thing out with a flood.
Amen.
And he told that to Noah and gave him 120 years to build the ark.
Yes.
So this is right after that time, and here they are now, only in chapter 11, building a tower to worship the host of heaven.
Yes.
God is on the back burner again already. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Now, you know what? God could have just said, enough of that.
Yep.
Wiped them out, but he loves people.
Yeah.
That's what amazes me, is the character of the love of God.
Yeah.
No matter what these people have done, he promised he wasn't going to wipe it out with a flood anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to do that. And here only in chapter 11, we just got away from total destruction with a flood. You see what I mean? And here they are now again.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the human mind will do apart from God. If it does not have a relationship with God, we tend to go bad.
Yes, we will.
We spoil quick.
Yeah.
You see, you know, we spoil quick, man. It don't take long. You look around and man is doing something they have no business. And God has nothing to do with it. He's not even involved in it. Not even in our thoughts anymore.
Yeah.
See that? And so what did God do? Instead of saying, I'm wiping you out again, let's start over. Can't be with water this time, I'll use something else. You know, but he said, no, what I'm going to do is confound your language.
Yeah.
I put a language barrier in there to break it up. Because what that'll do, that'll slow you down. You won't be on one accord now because you all can't even understand what each other are saying. And then I'm going to separate you with distance all over this planet.
Right.
People wonder, where did all those languages come from and how could that develop? You know? And the answer is, it was a judgment from God instantaneously. Then they all appeared, boom, at one time. Next thing you know, there was Portuguese, Spanish, English, French, all kinds of stuff that people couldn't understand one another. And they couldn't get back on one accord. And he was doing that to preserve them.
That's right.
Yeah. Slow you down in that getting together with the sin issue.
All right,
see? And you know what? That's worked really well all the way up into our time.
Yeah.
Now you can buy a computer and it has all those tongues in it.
Yeah.
You can get a brand new computer if you have bought one. It'll ask you, what language do you want? When you get it, you can pick whatever you want.
Yeah.
Portuguese, Spanish. And once you hit it, I had a dude, I think I told y'all this before.
Mm-hmm.
One of my foremen at work, when I used to work at the airport, he went and bought a computer and he accidentally hit German. That thing went into German. He had to take it back to the store. He couldn't figure out how to ever get it back to English because the whole language just, boom, all of a sudden it was German. And he couldn't change it. He must have hit okay. They make you confirm. And when it went in German, he couldn't read anything, so he had to take it back to the store and get another one. You see what I mean? So that language barrier is a powerful thing. And so God says, this is what I'm going to do to stop them from deteriorating so quick. Like they did back here in the days of Genesis. So to me, what you should see out of that is not so much the judgment side, it's that God loved them.
Yes, you did.
And I know all about language. I invented it. I created it.
Yes.
And you can talk to God in any language you want. That's why I worry about some of these people who say they're speaking in tongues. I better watch out for you. I mean, maybe you're speaking in some tongues, but I want to make sure what I'm hearing, I can get it in my ear and understand it. You know, and the fact is, God made tongues and initially to be a curse.
Yes.
And a judgment against people who made themselves against him. So we have to really put these things in a biblical context.
Mm-hmm.
He loved them. That's the reason he did it. Because I don't want you to become wicked like that again and work against me.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be a barrier to slow you down from going back into so much sin. I have to say that's it enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so the language barrier was put in place right there. And it was because they were all on one accord. So it teaches us two things that I want you to see. It teaches us a lot of things. But let's say being on one accord is a great thing.
Oh,
if it's going in the right direction.
Amen.
If it's going in the right direction, you and me on one accord is a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
See? Because we can get some stuff done because our minds are set in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
See? And it says here nothing will be restrained from that. That means you can complete the impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It might seem impossible to somebody. People already think St. Timothy is impossible. It's a church in Wellston. They have a problem. I say, you know, most of our people commute in anyway. We got a few people who are in the neighborhood here or that were raised around here. But we come here because our minds can be focused on God's word and we can export the gospel. Even though we're here, the word is going out of here all over the globe. You see? And people are being saved and strengthened and blessed.
Yeah.
And being built up in the truth.
Yes.
And so it doesn't make any difference where you are. If you get on one accord, you can accomplish some great things.
Yeah.
And so what I want you to understand, this Tower of Babel is an interesting thing. Because now, the thing we said about computers means that man has now got the capability to communicate again pretty much with anybody around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And our tendency is to go away from God, not toward God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sad thing. That's the sad thing about human nature.
Yes, it is.
And so it's very critical for me and you to get on one accord and be going in the right direction. So when we observe how quickly sin permeated the whole world from the time of the flood in the days of Noah up until the Tower of Babel, as it's called, it is obvious that because of the unmitigated flow of worldly knowledge
mm-hmm.
to everyone, which was because of the fact that they all spoke the same language, sin and ungodly philosophy became the norm
mm-hmm.
rather than the tendency toward godliness,
mm-hmm.
which was desired. The tendency toward godliness was desired by God. God wanted them to be for him,
mm-hmm.
but who, because of his great love toward mankind, chose to introduce the curse of the judgment of confounding the tongues in order to slow down the malignancy of sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God was doing.
Wow.
Let me slow down that malignancy of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Malignant means it can't be fixed.
That's right.
And when it goes so far, you can't fix it.
Yeah.
There's nothing else you can do. So God was doing it as a blessing to mankind to slow down the malignancy of sin. So the enemy of our soul, who is also the enemy of God, set himself and his victims. And this is what Satan does. He wants you to go down a dark path.
Yeah.
He would like the whole world to get on one accord doing the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
He works hard. That's why today you see so many things. The internet is a good thing on one side. Mm-hmm. On another side, it's poisonous.
That's right. Yeah.
Because it allows people to connect everywhere around the planet and be on an evil accord.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
But it has some benefits.
Yes, it does.
You know, if you use it for good stuff, it's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the devil has now gotten past the language barrier, so you and I have to be very careful. That's why I say the enemy of God and our souls has set himself against his victims, who are all who reject the counsel of God for the sake of building up a name for themselves.
Yeah.
And we see it in the highest offices in government today.
Yeah.
Oh, look how well our economy is doing. Yeah, but how are the people doing? How are the small people doing? God is concerned about all the people.
Yes, he is.
Across the board, not just the rich and the famous.
Mm-hmm.
See, he's concerned about the little child of a person who you call an immigrant that you lock away
mm-hmm.
in a cage for a number of days while you talk about, oh, look at the Wall Street, how it's doing.
Yeah.
What is Wall Street doing and people starving over here, and you got all this stuff going on, so your skew is twisted.
Yes, it is.
You're not really thinking the way God would have you think as being the most powerful nation on earth. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're on a course of anything goes in the world. And people are now waving the flag for anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
And people who speak the truth will be spoken evil of.
That's right.
And that's why the Lord told you to be prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I have to be like Jesus said. We have to be shrewd in the way we analyze where we are in the world. What are our children feeding on?
All right.
What are we exporting and what messages are we giving out as a people?
Mm-hmm.
Especially the church, because people automatically look at the church.
Mm-hmm.
The church is under the greatest criticism that it has been for a long time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says that in the last days there will be scoffers and mockers who will come saying, where is the promise of his coming?
Mm-hmm.
And so you see that. That's really proof that when they wrote that, Peter wrote that, he knew exactly how things would be in the latter days. And so you and I have to learn to shrewdly practice the love of God.
Because
God isn't against anybody who's practicing evil stuff. You know why? Because he gave his son for them.
Yeah.
Whoever they are. We have to get it out of our mind to try to alienate people of different types of character and all that kind of thing, or folks who have become addicted to particular stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a tendency to want to set them aside, or we're afraid of them.
That's true.
And we back away.
Yeah.
But we have to be more embracing and understand at one time we may have been under a bondage of some sort. And truth be told, church, can we talk? We might have some issues right now that we haven't gotten complete victory from. That's the truth. We don't have to put on a Sunday face and come in here and, you know, act like we got everything together. We got some issues too. The truth be told. So who would we be to isolate or reject anybody? See, so we're not into that. We're into the practice of shrewdly loving people anyway. No matter who they are. It may hit you in your conscience that somebody going through something might give you a problem some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? In your spirit, you ought to say, God loves them exactly like they are.
That's right.
He took me out of whatever mess I was in.
That's right.
And he got me going in the right direction.
Amen.
I'm moving in the right direction now.
Amen.
I'm not perfect yet.
Amen.
But he accepted me anyway. He gave his son for me in order to cleanse me of my sin.
Yeah.
So Paul was one who had to realize that. That's why we have him here as a witness in 1 Corinthians 9.
Yeah.
He says, though I am free from all men, in other words, I don't owe men anything, yet
mm-hmm.
I have made myself a servant unto all. That word could be translated slave.
Mm-hmm.
That I might gain the more. He says, I'll become whatever I have to be since God has cleared my account. Doesn't make any difference. I want to serve God.
That's right.
So anybody going through anything, I'm willing to set my standards aside or whatever I think or the twistedness of my mind to help them see that the one who is on top loves you and accepts
you. Amen.
Amen. Doesn't make any difference what you're battling, what you're going through.
Yeah.
He got me out of a mess.
That's right.
Paul knew that. I was going backwards.
Yeah.
I was against the church.
Amen.
And he turned me around 180 degrees.
Yeah.
So he knew that. He said, I'm about to break down now, and I don't care what you're doing. God loves you.
That's right.
So he had to be shrewd in his application of practicing the love of God.
Model.
At one time, he hated Gentiles.
Yes, yeah.
The Jews never should have hated the Gentiles at any time. But they did. They slipped into it.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they thought, oh, we're better than the Gentiles.
Yeah.
We're the people of God. That was exactly the opposite of what God wanted them to think. God said, I'm setting you on high so that other people see how I'm blessing you and be drawn to my goodness.
Yeah.
So you can tell them how gracious I am.
Yeah.
You can tell them how merciful I am.
Yeah.
You can tell them how I bless you no matter what you
do. Yeah,
you can tell them I took you through and gave you an altar of sacrifice so that you could make a sacrifice and be forgiven even though you weren't doing everything right. You can boast on my goodness and my righteousness and draw some other people in. He even put it in the book. He had folks in there like Rahab the harlot who got saved. He had folk in there like Ruth the Moabite who was a foreign people from a cursed nation that got saved. He had Naaman the Assyrian who had leprosy and came all the way out of his country to be dipped in the river Jordan and cleansed of his sin. He was constantly showing them how I'm blessing Gentiles and not only the Jews. That's why the Bible says he came to his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. So Paul learned this flexibility of practicing shrewdly the love of God. He says, for though I'm free from all men, yet I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, and unto them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, there were some lawless people. He said, I used to really hate them as without law, but not being without law to God, myself, under the law to Christ. See? That I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak.
Yes.
That I might gain the weak.
Right.
I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some.
Right.
He says, I'm even prepared for rejection because not everybody's going to accept the truth.
Right.
But I don't care if you reject me. Who am I?
Mm-hmm.
They rejected Jesus.
That's right.
Who do I think I am? See, you can reject me, that's all right. I know God loves you and he wants you to be saved. So I'm just going to tell you no matter what you're dealing with. And he learned how to shrewdly apply the love of God. Yeah, he tells you in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 9, 2, 3, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So he said, know ye not that they which run a race all run, but only one gets the prize? Think about that. How are you running your race? Are you able to practice the love of God and be shrewd toward those who are outside? Think about it, because this is what we have to do. We have to pray about where we are and who is in our life. Who did God put in your life and how can you help them understand the truth? Realize the devil doesn't want you to do it. Your own flesh may not want you to do it, but God does.
Yes, he does.
And he is the one to whom be all the glory.
Right.
So we, like Paul the apostle, must learn to realize that people who are without Christ must never be viewed as our personal enemies.
That's right.
But are people who are loved by God our Father, and therefore we who have a relationship with God through Jesus should learn to adapt for the purpose of passing on the gospel by any means, no matter what it takes.
Amen.
See? We can't be judges. We're not called to be judges. We're only called to share the good news that God loves you.
That's it.
Exactly like you are.
Amen.
He shed as much blood for you as he did for me.
That's right. Amen.
For the worst sinner or person you know.
Right.
And I love you just like you are.
Yes.
See, that's our news. It's good news.
Yes.
So I need to put aside what I think. Because what I think may not be the best thing.
Yes.
It wasn't sometimes it's good just to shut your mouth if you can't say anything good. Didn't your parents tell you that?
Yes.
My grandma said, if you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. Shut your mouth.
Yes.
See, because that's the best thing.
Right.
What we have is given to us for the purpose of sharing
it
with whosoever will. Amen. And we can do that if we will to do something. Pray about what you're thinking. Don't just say what you're thinking all the time. You know, I'm glad I don't, because I might have some terrible thoughts come to my mind sometimes. I know y'all don't do that a lot. The fact is, sometimes you might be thinking some of anything. And I have to check myself all the time. You know? And that's why you have to do that. You have to learn how to do that. And that's why James gave the best advice. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. See? For the anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So I want everybody to know, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your level of understanding is, God loves you.
Oh, yes, He does.
Jesus died for you. If you believe Him, He will save you.
Yes, He will.
And I think everyone in the room that is saved knows that's true.
Amen.
You know? And I'm telling you right now, I'm not perfect. I wish I could tell you I'm perfect one way. And that's that Christ has declared me perfect. And that's what He wants to do for you. He loves you just like you are. Whatever you're going through, He understands, He knows everything about it. And He can release you and free you from anything you do. See? And He will help you think right.
He will.
That's why He gave Christ up front ahead of time. God says, I'm doing this once and for all of mankind.
Yes.
No matter who you are, you can know I love you. Don't have to worry about that one. Boy, that's the biggest one we should be worried about.
Amen.
I'm not so much concerned if my brother Douglas thinks I'm really a good Christian man. Well, I mean, he's all right, and he's my brother, and I love him. But you know what? I better see Jesus. What does He say?
That's right. Amen.
When I come before His throne, what will He say about Fisher?
That's what I'm doing.
See what I mean? That's what my concern is. What will He say? You know, will He say He believes me, He trusts me, and I love Him? You know what? Your sin will never be seen by God the Father if you come in Christ.
Never.
That's why He said, no man comes to me except the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. See, He will raise you up. He's the one you got to report to. People always talk about all the men who died and they went to the gates of heaven, and St. Peter was there. St. Peter ain't going to have nothing to do with you when you get there. It's Jesus is the one who you're going to see.
Amen.
See, He's the one you got to pass by Him. And you know what? He doesn't make it hard. He wants you to know, I love you. That's what the gospel is about. What makes it gospel? What makes it good news? Is that God loves me so much, He gave His Son. And He was willing to come here and allow people to crucify Him. Even though He had done nothing wrong. No deceit was in His mouth at all. He spoke nothing but the truth. Somebody said, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? The only one who can do that is Jesus. You know, and He testified before God the Father that whoever believes in me, Father, He prayed from the cross. And hung there on the cross. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. See, we don't even understand the depths of what we have done. And the stuff we're going through, but He does. And I love you anyway. So He said, come just like you are. And I will make your way clean. In the
My Lord.
That's why the Bible says He's the priest, the great high priest after
right.
The order of Melchizedek.
Yes.
No other one like Him.
None.
But He loves you just like you are, and He accepts you. Amen. We thank God that last week my brother here came aboard into the church. And we offer for you today. We have Danielle who came some time ago. We thank God for her.
Amen.
We thank God for all our most recent members who have joined the church. And we would like to extend that invitation to you, whoever you are today. Whether you are already in the church, you can come at this time. Some people are saved and they just need a church home. And we're here for that reason. We want to continue to teach you. And if you're here and you have not been saved, we want you to come.
Yes.
And let the Lord know right now today that you are not ashamed of the gospel. That I trust you, I believe you, and I believe you will save me. That you died and rose from the grave in order to give me a right to the tree of life. That's all we're talking about. That's where you start. We start right there with the Lord. And He will take you on where He wants you to go. From there. He said, as many as receive Him, to them He gives the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe in His name. So we start there.
Now, many of you have been in the church throughout the years. We want to let you know that if you're already saved, you can come as a Christian experienced.
Amen.
In other words, you already have experienced salvation and you need a church home. Feel free to come at this time. Amen. We offer Christ to you at this time. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want to pray with you and receive you into the kingdom.
Thank you,
amen. We've been authorized to do that. Have a seat here for a moment, and we'll have someone to take your information. We want to give time for anyone who's considering.
Hallelujah!
To the church, we invite you to come at this time. Amen. The door is open. The heart of the Lord is open. Amen. We accept a member by letter, candidate.
Yeah.
Or come with Christian experience. Amen. In other words, you're already saved. You just need a church home. We invite you to come. Amen. 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 We're going to go ahead after they receive our sister's information here. But we just thank God. Pray about where you are in your thoughts. Realize that God is still not done with any of us. I wish I could tell you, oh, I popped out and now I'm all good. It doesn't work like that. I have a ways to go. Amen. And I'm praying on it every day. I'm going to pray my way through this thing. Amen. But should I die before I wake? As Brother Frank was saying last week, I already know where my soul is going. Amen. That's the important thing. Do you know where your soul is going? Do you know where you're going to be in eternity?
Oh, yes, I do.
You know that Jesus is faithful. Sister Kim.
Church, this is Sonya Smith, and she's here to be baptized.
Amen. We got the